CSN International presents To Every Man an Answer, the live apologetics program that equips you to give a reason for the hope that lies within you.
If you have a Bible question or a question on the Christian faith, you can call us at 1-888-827-5276. Again, that's 1-888-ASK-CSN.
Let's get things started. Here's today's host, Mike Kessler.
Hi, and welcome to Thursday's edition of To Every Man an Answer. Glad you've joined us. Hey, this is the time we set aside live radio to answer questions about the Bible from the Bible, look at current events from a biblical perspective, and also what we hear in church. Is it men's traditions or is it truly God's word? Jesus said we live by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God and warns us about following the traditions of men. So if you got a question you'd like to ask us, that number to call again, 8888-ASK-CSN, and you can be part of the program today. Joining me today, special guest we have with us, Daryl Skinner from Calvary Chapel, Pearl Harbor, Honolulu, Hawaii. Aloha, Daryl.
Aloha, Mike, and aloha to all the listeners out there. Great to be with you from the beautiful islands of Hawaii. Looking forward to the program today on To Every Man an Answer. And just always a blessing to be on with you, Mike, and the team at Tima and so forth, To Every Man an Answer, and the great calls that come in each time from the listeners. I just love to see people wanting to grow in their faith and be blessed in the Lord and to draw closer to Him. So it's very exciting and good to be on with you, my friend.
Well, I want to thank you for being on in the morning times here on the CSN Radio Network and also on the weekends, Chosen Generation. And again, your recorded live Bible teachings from Sunday morning, Wednesday night, and Sunday night and all. Thank you so much, Daryl, for being on. It's always a blessing to have you with us and answering questions with you. And again, if you've got a special question you'd like to ask Daryl, if you've been listening to his programming, 8888-ASK-CSN is the number to call. You can be part of the program. And with that, we will go to the phones. We have Ron on the line, Prescott, Arizona, line two. Hi, welcome.
Good afternoon, Pastors Mike and Daryl. In Isaiah 66:24, it talks about people seeing the corpses of the men who died after the Lord returned. Is this during the millennial kingdom and not the eternal kingdom?
That was Isaiah 66:44.
The book of Isaiah.
What verse?
24, the very last verse of the book of Isaiah.
Your thoughts, Daryl?
Well, I would. There's corpses here, so it's let's see. Forever God's presence. So as far as the new heavens and new earth, which this verse 22 put it in context. For as the new heavens and new earth, which I will make, shall remain before me, says the Lord. So shall the descendants in your name remain, and it shall come to pass that from one new moon to the other, and from one Sabbath to another, all flesh shall come to worship before me, says the Lord, and they shall go forth and look upon the corpses of the men who have transgressed against me. For their worm does not die, and their fire is not quenched. They shall be an abhorrence to all flesh. I've got to review this a bit in my own head, but I want to say it's dealing with the establishment of the millennial kingdom and the end times. Or the other option, of course, would be, are we dealing with the final battle between when Satan's released after the thousand-year reign of Christ, and then the Bible says nations will come against the Lord one last time, and then they're taken care of. So that's the quandary I'm in a little bit to reflect and remember on that particular passage. I'll see what I can come up with in my research here. Mike, what do you have?
Yeah, I would agree. I think it appears that it is speaking possibly about the millennium. Because if you go back a little farther in verse 19, it talks about the very last sentence there. It says, my glory among the Gentiles. And I believe that, again, during this time of the millennium, if people do not come and pay homage to Christ, no rain will fall on their land, and there will be justice. Unlike today in our world today, there will be justice that will be metered out by God himself on this earth. So that's the way it would appear. You're right, though. I think it could also be speaking of the end as well. Any last thoughts?
I would say probably as I'm just refreshing my memory here with that particular passage, I think it's at the end of the millennial reign of Christ where you read that at the end of the 1,000 years, I believe it's Revelation 20, that one last time Satan is released from his imprisonment for the 1,000 years. He goes out, deceives the nations, the Bible declares. And then there's one final war that takes place. It's at the end of the 1,000-year reign of Christ. Now, you have to remember, the 1,000-year reign of Christ is they're going to be really, the earth will be under the rulership of a theocracy led by Jesus, our Lord. And everything is going to be beautiful, magnificent, incredible, and so forth. But the people who that made it through the tribulation, did not take the mark of the beast, these sheep, they're going to have kids and kids and kids during the 1,000-year reign of Christ. And they have to make a decision. Do they want to follow Jesus or to reject Jesus? And so Satan is released. Now they have an opportunity to make that free will choice like all of us make. Do I want to love the Lord or do I want to rebel against the Lord? That'll be the final rebellion. And then those that rebel will be then cast into, as he says, where the worm dieth not. In Isaiah, Jesus gives us the same reference also. And so on. It's the everlasting destruction in hell. So that'll be, as all non-believers will end up going to the great white throne judgment after the 1,000-year reign of Christ, and all believers will be heading off to the new heavens, new earth, and new Jerusalem. So that's how I would see this particular passage.
And I agree with that. And to further fortify that, well, when Satan is loosed and creates this rebellion against Jesus, having lived in a perfect environment, perfect food, perfect world, perfect everything, people still rebel against God. That's why it says we must be born again. It is not our environment that makes us evil. It is a born-in, inherited flaw from Adam where we must be born again. This is the problem that we have. Now, again, very quickly, Ron, if you'll notice, and looking up close at this, it says the fire is not quenched. Very clearly speaking, of this judgment. Now, as they come against Jesus there in Jerusalem, this final rebellion, with the word, they're destroyed. Their corpses, I believe, will be everywhere, just as it says here. And then we go into the great white throne judgment and then into the new Jerusalem. Hope that helps.
Thank you, Pastor. One last thing. Have you ever wondered how Satan can get millions or even billions of people to rebel at the end of the millennial kingdom?
I think it's because of the old sin nature. I think Satan appeals to the old sin nature. This is why we see the world in the condition that it is today. You know, when you look and you see the anti-God rhetoric that comes out of Hollywood in the form of movies, entertainment, news, you just go, how in the world could people be so duped to believe what they're told? But see, the old sin nature, I gotta say, is dumb. It is completely blind to the long-term effect of sin. This is one of the reasons why the Bible talks about the Spirit of God is prophecy. Why is that? Because when God comes into your life, he shows you the outcome of what we're doing in advance. But the world doesn't do that. Sin doesn't do that. Do you think a person that's an alcoholic, losing their family, losing their company, losing their job, when they started drinking, do you think they said, boy, this is, if I knew how this was going to come out, I wouldn't do it. Well, that'd be great. But see, the Bible does tell us what lifestyles will be like in the end. And so that Spirit of God in us, I believe a lot of times is what keeps us from sinning, is because God gives us that supernatural wisdom, that supernatural word, prophetic nature of what it will be like in the future if you go down this path. Now, the same thing can be said for those who love and serve God. And here's why. Those that love and serve God are laying up for themselves treasure in heaven, a reward in heaven that will not get old. Thieves won't break through and steal. Rust doesn't corrupt. All these problems that we find today with reward, that will not be the case in heaven. And so the Bible says, look ahead in your life, in the way you bless people, and be that wonderful person in somebody's life. Friends, I think that's so important. But when we don't have God to show us the outcome of a sinful life, where this is all going to end up, this is one of the great things about being born again. Not only is your name written in the book of life, but you also have insight into the future, even concerning our own personal lifestyle, saying, oh, I better change that because I can see how that's going to come out. The Bible tells me. And so very clearly here, it's talking about that end time when they rebel against the Lord. With a word, they're spoken, they're destroyed, the Bible says. I believe their corpses, in fact, are everywhere. And then we go into the great white throne judgment. And then after that, the new Jerusalem, which is our eternal home, where finally everything is right. I look forward to that. Sounds so good. Hope that helps.
Thank you much, pastors.
God bless you.
Thanks so much for the call. Let's go to Mike, Reno, Nevada. Hi, welcome.
Hey, thanks a lot. Thanks, pastors. This was kind of spur of the moment. I just drive in. I got a little something on my mind. I'm like, hey, you know what? I think I'm just going to pull over and call, man. So thank you. Timing was great.
Wonderful.
I'm out of Calvary Chapel, Northwest Reno, a Calvary brother. Appreciate you guys. Hey, so here's what's kind of, and again, it's not like I lose a bunch of sleep or anything crazy. I just want to kind of hear your insight, kind of get your thoughts, wisdom on something here that kind of bugs me a little, that kind of, you know, I don't know, man, it just doesn't sit right. But first of all, I'm not a huge, like, politics guy. You know, I vote, of course, totally. I put in the work as far as, you know, what candidate stands for what and all that, try to do the right thing there, do my part, but holy moly, can we get out there getting all, you know what I'm saying, so far down the road, like, and politics becomes everything. And I look more, as you guys do, like, what a golden ticket right now to share Jesus with people, man.
Amen.
Because people are
Amen.
Scared. Yeah, they're scared, hurting, confused, lied to, don't know which end is up. And oh my gosh. In fact, I'll full-blown encourage all our listeners here, like, please, like, be stoked about this opportunity that we have right in our lap to share Christ with a dying world, man.
Amen.
So anyway, so we're at war, right? You know, we go to war and we make a, and again, this isn't bad. I love our president. Of course, I completely stand behind him and all that. You know, love our country, the whole deal. But this one just kind of rubs me the wrong way. You know how, so we'll go to war. We're going to, you know, we're going to wipe out evil, so to speak, from the world. And, you know, they, out of their own mouths, they, you know, they hate us. They want to eliminate us. We're the great Satan or whatever they call us and blah, blah, blah. And then, like, I don't understand, like, the whole ceasefire thing. And then, oh, we're going to take like a 10-day break and then get back after it. And I thought the whole big picture was that we are battling evil and there's no other way other than to eliminate it, because they're going to lie and keep coming back for more, even lie sure. about the ceasefire. We're not going to do anything, but then boom, they're at it. I mean, am I making any sense there?
No, you're right. The ceasefires are just kicking the can down the road because there's been no, see, again, we have this whole thing with Israel right now, the October 7th invasion of Hamas into Israel, taking captives, killing women and children, you know, hundreds and hundreds of people. There's been no surrender by Hamas. It's a flaky ceasefire, but Hamas has never surrendered to Israel. And this is the problem. Every time the Arabs get into a war and they lose, they call for a ceasefire. No, Arab nations, you lost. You lost the Golan Heights. You lost the West Bank. You lost the Gaza Strip. You lost. And every time they get into a battle and they lose, and this is what they do, they call for a ceasefire. And then because Israel says, no, we're going to win the war, oh, now they're the aggressor, even though the Arabs are the ones who started it. So we got real problems here because, again, the European Union is really kooky. If you listen to these guys talk, if it wasn't for the United States, all of Europe would be speaking German right now. And for some reason, the EU is so cockeyed, they don't understand that. They have no concept of how to win a war. And when Iran, not some guy in a closet on the internet with 10,000 followers, but the president of Iran says, death to America, take them seriously. That's a declaration of war when a president of a country says, death to you. No, we need to be there. They were building these ICBMs and wanting to tip them with nuclear warheads. And soon as they were able to do that, they weren't going to just sit there and have them out in the desert going, hey, look at our shiny, cool rockets, man. They were going to use them. And thank God our president understood that. I don't know how anybody can say, they weren't a threat. I don't know what planet you're on, because there's something, either you're a traitor to say that kind of a thing, or you're so inept you should not be anywhere near any governmental office. Because when you have a country say death to America, building ICBMs, which they have, building nuclear warheads, and then when we go and say, okay, cease fire, we haven't accomplished anything. All we're doing is giving them time to rebuild. And it seems that this 10-day, 15, 2-week, 4-week reprieve here that we've all experienced, they said that they have rebuilt a lot of their fortifications on these different islands and stuff. So, no, I agree with you. I think that with nothing decided, if we would have had a ceasefire with Japan, or if we would have had a ceasefire with Germany, nothing would have ever been accomplished other than millions of people dead and billions of dollars in debt. Your thoughts, Daryl?
Yeah, you know, when we look at what's going on with Donald Trump and, of course, our military, which they've done an outstanding job destroying the
Amen.
Nuclear capacities of Iran, it's been phenomenal. The other thing is, I think sometimes you have a ceasefire to give the opportunity. There's a lot of innocent people in Iran. I know a lot of Persian people. And there's those that are innocent. They're not part of the Shiite movement and Death to America movement. And this is the kind of the balance that President Trump is trying to maintain. We'd love to see an overthrow there of the Islam, the radical Islam, I should say, and so forth, and see that take place. But I think one thing is we just get trickles of information through the news. I remember talking to someone that was part of the CIA years ago. He says, don't believe the news. The news just Amen. Gives you what they're able to have, and that's about it. But there's so much going on behind the scenes, underneath the scenes, if you will. And nothing is a ceasefire without a plan taking place. So, and I think also for Israel, they're still dealing with Hezbollah. And with these skirmishes, I mean, Israel has not stopped dealing with Hezbollah. Hezbollah has not stopped dealing with Israel. And all this is extended out, and they're going to continue to defeat Hezbollah there in Lebanon and take them out completely. So these things are taking place. I'm not concerned about it. A little bit of gas pain, if you will, for the gas prices. It's okay. But we're going to be victorious in this event because God is with us. We're with Israel. God is with us, and we've seen the defeats already that we've taken place. Their military's wiped out, their economy's ruined, and so forth. But these, you got to realize, these are radical Islamic diehards or prideful people, and they're not going to give in. And this is the battle. But we've taken out their leadership, what, 2 or 3 times already? And we can do it again if we so desire. So these events are taking place right before our very eyes. I'm confident that the plans are taking place that are going to defeat this enemy of ours, not eliminate them, but defeat them, because the Bible says there's still going to be this Ezekiel war with the trifecta of evil. Yep. It's just Turkey, Islam, Iran, and Russia, of course, all together, bound together to fight against Israel. I believe that will take place at the rapture of the church
that create a great opportunity for this to take place. Why do we go in with Trump, and why did we wipe out their nuclear weaponry? Because God is going to deal with his people, and he's going to deal with them tremendously, meaning the Jewish people in Israel. He's going to fight for them, and he's going to declare his name. He's going to glorify him, his name, to all the world, and especially to the Jewish people. So, Mike, I give it back to you.
Yeah, you know, Mike, I would also say that it appears to me that it will probably be a ceasefire, not a victory. And here's why. Because very clearly, the Ezekiel 38-39 war includes Persia, which is Iran, Iraq, and Afghanistan, that area. Now, remember, Biden gave to the Afghans our air base there, $80 billion worth of armament. They didn't even bother to destroy. They just left it for them to have. There's something really wrong here. I don't know what it is. You know, my dad says when something doesn't make sense, it doesn't make sense. And I go, what do you mean by that? And he says, well, when you see something and it doesn't make any sense to you, there's more going on behind the scenes that you know, and that's why you can't figure it out. Why would anybody give our enemy $80 billion, brand new Apache helicopters, not destroy them with a firebomb? Nothing. They walked away. Why? Well, see, these are problems that we don't really have answers for. But it's very clear that this Ezekiel 38-39 war, Iran is still a player. And so I do not believe they will be a parking lot. I do not believe they'll be wiped off the map. I believe that they'll very possibly get their new nuclear stuff to replace what they're having to surrender right now from Russia or China or North Korea, and they'll rebuild rather rapidly. There is the Ezekiel 38-39 war that's coming. The Bible says it'll be in the last days, the land of the Enwall villages. They're coming to take a spoil, and no one comes to Israel's defense except God. Mm-hmm. And the Bible says God's fury arises in his face, and he destroys 5/6 of this huge army, this coalition that comes against Israel, and the whole world goes, whoa, God did this. And so, no, it's going to be quite a thing. It's going to be a global changer. And as you said, Daryl, I think it really sets up the one world order in a very, yes, very quick manner. So, Mike, hope that helps.
Oh, yeah. You know, thank you so much. I'm so pumped because, I literally, coming through the Bible, I just read Ezekiel like 3 weeks ago. So coming on through, and yeah, thank you for the reminder, because that's just the absolute best. I knew you guys would have the right word. And you know how sometimes, man, you kind of, there's just something that just kind of stays with you a little bit. And
yep, there is. And I think sometimes that's how God quickens our heart to certain things. And certainly if they're something on your heart, I'm sure it's on the heart of others. Mike, we might have lost you right there, but thank you so much for the call. If you come up with any other questions, be sure to call us. Let's go to Anthony, line 5, in Hesperia, California. Hi, and welcome.
Hi there, Manny.
Yes.
Thank you. Yeah, thank you so much, pastors, for all you do. You guys are amazing. It's interesting. I heard one of you mention Revelation 20 earlier, and then you mentioned the Gog-Magog war. I was actually going to ask about the Psalm 83 war, but in Psalm 20, verses 1 through 7, it says that after the millennium, Satan will be released from prison. God, in the New American Standard Bible, Gog and Magog. And then I was reading the language from Ezekiel 38 and 39, and it seems to me, I mean, most people disagree with me, but it seems to me that it's going to be at the end of the millennium. But my question was actually if you think we might be in the Psalm 83 war if the ceasefire stops and Trump finishes the job.
Well, the reason why we know the Ezekiel 38-39 war is not there at the end of the millennial reign is because still we have Jesus Christ reigning. The Bible says Israel in Ezekiel 39 says that they will be burning the weapons for 7 years. They're not going to be burning the weapons into the New Jerusalem. They're not going to be burning the weapons, dirty, you know, barrels of oil and stuff like that, where God has made the world all new again for that 1,000 years. That's not going to be happening. There's no battle, actually. The Bible says with a word, just a word, they're destroyed. So this is going to be considerably different than that. And then it says the cache of weapons from this coalition that comes against Israel, again, Ezekiel 38, 39, is so great that they will be using their armament, their fuel, the barrels of oil, probably for the tanks, whatever, and be burning that for 7 years. Curiously, that's about how long the tribulation is. And so this will probably be a major source of energy for Israel during the tribulation period. Your thoughts, Daryl?
Yeah, you know, when we look at that Ezekiel war, Mike, you described it well. God is going to be glorified in that Ezekiel war. And it has to take place, it could take place today, it could take place at the rapture or right after the rapture. But they're going to be burning that weaponry for 7 years. And that relates also, I believe, to the great tribulation period, the 7 years of tribulation. As well as you said, God's going to glorify his name. He's going to magnify his name. And I think that'll be the beginning of the outpouring of the Holy Spirit upon the 144,000, which is going to take place. Jews that'll be preaching the gospel, that's all going to come very quickly after the rapture of the church and then the unveiling of the Antichrist and so forth. So the series of events are going to be God dealing with the children of Israel once again, fulfilling that 70th week of Daniel. That week has not been fulfilled. That week is Shavuot, meaning a seven-year period. Mike, I give it back to you.
Yes. So, Anthony, we'll talk a little bit more about this on the other side of the break. We don't want anyone to go away. And when we come back, well, we're going to get as many people, get your questions answered as we can. So we'll be back right after this.
If you could save a life, would you? Preborn is the largest provider of free ultrasounds in the country and gives the gift of life on average 200 times a day because of you. Meet Dan Steiner, president of Preborn.
God may well ask us. Our grandkids may well ask us. Back then in the late 20th, early 21st century, they were killing babies, Grandpa. What did you do about that? And you can say, I sponsored a baby for $28 an ultrasound for a mother to see her baby every month.
An ultrasound can be the difference between the life and death of a baby.
That ultrasound changed everything for me. It really did. That made it all worthwhile to know that I was going to have a little blessing. And when she got here, it was just, oh my gosh.
Preborn provides you with the opportunity to give the gift of life to a baby who desperately needs our help. For more information, dial #250 and say the keyword baby. That's #250 baby, or visit preborn.com/CSN. That's preborn.com/CSN.
Let's see, if something costs less, a lot less, but people are actually happier with it, that sounds like something to look into. And that's MediShare. Maybe you've heard joining MediShare can save you or your family up to $500 a month, and that's huge. But it's also true, people are just happier with it. They love being part of something that reflects and promotes their values and what they believe in. MediShare works, too. It's been around for 30 years now, and members have shared more than $7 billion of each other's bills. People love having telehealth and a huge nationwide PPO network, so yeah, really, you can save a ton and like it better. Imagine being happy with how you're taking care of your health care, whether you're self-employed or part of the gig economy, or you just want a plan that you're happy with. Here you go. You can call right now and get a price within 2 minutes. A very, very smart use of 2 minutes. Here's the number you need. It's 855-91-BIBLE. That's 855-91-BIBLE. 855-91-BIBLE.
We want to welcome you back to part two. Jerry Mann Answer here on this Thursday afternoon with Daryl Skinner. He's the senior pastor of Calvary Chapel in Pearl Harbor, Hawaii. And if you're out in the area, you're vacationing there in Hawaii, be sure to stop in and say, Daryl, we hear you on the radio. It means always so much to us when we get to meet our radio audience. it just really encourages us, and we like to encourage you as well. So if you're in the area, be sure to stop in and see Daryl. Daryl, what are you teaching on this Sunday?
We'll be in Revelation chapter 6, the four horsemen of the apocalypse and so forth. So it's going to be the opening of the seven seals will begin. And so we're in the book of Revelation right now on Sunday morning. It's very exciting to study what God has in store for this world and for us, the great hope that he's given us in our Lord Jesus Christ and how he's going to be the victorious one. You know, the world is destined to fight against God, fight against his son, Jesus Christ. Psalm 2 tells us that. And the book of Revelation unveils all things. The apocalypse is coming. So folks, get saved before it's too late. Let's go for God. Mike?
You know, it's really amazing that we have this organization globally called the Council on Foreign Relations. Mm-hmm. And many high-ranking American figures, both Democrat and Republican, have been part of it. And Dick Cheney and others. It's all about a one world order, and they get together and decide, I guess, who's going to control what. But you know what's really amazing, Daryl, and it scared me when I saw it. Their insignia for the Council on Foreign Relations is a guy riding on a white horse.
Interesting.
Check it out. It's pretty amazing that this one world order organization, their insignia is a guy riding on a white horse. So things that make you go, Well, back to the phones we go.
Absolutely.
And any last thoughts on that last call? Because I think it is important because people, we do need to understand that the Ezekiel 38-39 war is at the end of the is not at the end of the millennia or the end of the tribulation.
Yeah.
And the main reason why is because no one comes to Israel's defense. Jesus Christ himself is reigning over the world. So this would never even happen during the millennial reign of Christ. So that's why we know it has to be before. They're not going to be burning weapons into the New Jerusalem or anything like that. And so that's why we look for that. Now, the timing of this Psalms 83 war, your thoughts on that, Daryl?
Well, Psalm 83, there's been a debate on it, actually. Some say it was a past history and a prayer that was given by Asaph in the Psalm about God. Defeating their enemies and so forth. Now others say that war is still coming or we're in it right now. I think the Ezekiel war is more elaborate, more distinct that we can say with absolutes in regards to Ezekiel 38 and 39 and what's going to take place into the future, as well as the Battle of Armageddon and the end of Revelation there. And we know that all the nations of the world will come against Jesus at his second coming. So we don't see the Ezekiel work dealing with the Battle of Armageddon, and then you get to the end of the age of the thousand year reign, as you just said, Mike. We see the nations being deceived again by Satan coming against Christ, along with Gog and Magog and so forth. So there's separate events, separate wars that are going to be taking place in these last days. Jesus warned us about it. There's going to be wars, rumors of wars, nation against nation, kingdom against kingdom, and so forth.
Earthquakes as well.
Earthquakes, yeah. Earthquakes, pestilences, and so forth. Famines. So all that is going to take place, and it's going to reach its zenith, if you will, in the tribulation period. That's when that woman is pregnant, ready to give birth, and the new birth is going to be Christ returning and establishing a thousand year reign, and it's going to be more intense with the wrath of God coming upon the world, and of course the atrocities of the lawless one, which is the Antichrist. So these things will take place in that 7 years. Now, it's important to realize Psalm 83 is an interesting psalm. We're not absolutely sure of all things that it says. It lists a whole host of Israel's past enemies and God's retribution against them, his retaliation, I guess, against them and so forth, which is important. But we're not exactly absolute with that particular Psalm 83. So that's the best I could do for you there, Mike.
Yeah, because it talks about Damascus being completely annihilated, and that really hasn't happened yet. But with the continual fighting over there, it's not hard to believe that wouldn't happen tomorrow morning. So much to pray about. Hope that answered it for you, Mike, and God bless you. Let's go to Fran, Texas. Hi, welcome.
Hello, Forever Brothers.
How are you and how may we help?
Thank you so much. So I'm struggling to have the fitting biblical approach to visit with a sweet married couple who are faithful believers. And they got into one of those money scams by someone overseas that is also a believer, according to them. My friend, the wife, we've been friends for 10 years, was about to retire, but now can't because they invested all of their retirement in this. It's now been 3 years, and they keep praying for a miracle, and now just gave these investors more money because they asked them for more money in order able to give them their money. So again, they sold their car. So anyway, it's a scam. So I think they're in denial. I'm really concerned. So how can I present biblical truth in love to my friends so that they stop this scam and maybe start, you know, somewhere else? She's got a great salary. And which is why also, praise the Lord, they have been able to keep going. But that's why she cannot retire. But I'm very concerned. And I don't know how to, I don't want to say, well, stop praying for a miracle. Because my gosh, the Lord can do whatever he wants. But I think this really is a scam.
Yeah. Yeah. And there's so many out there. They sound so good. And you've got to check and verify absolutely everything now. Because the it seems like the crooks just lay awake at night thinking of a new way to scam somebody. Daryl, your thoughts?
Yeah, you know, these are not times to take risks, especially as you're looking towards retirement. You need to have your money established in very safe havens of investments and backed by the FDIC. And also the stock market seems to be fairly strong at this time. But you don't go to someone, some doctor from overseas says he's from Nigeria and he's a Christian and wants you to invest in whatever, and you're going to get a 29%, 30% return on your money and so on and so forth. You don't do it. And whatever scam it was, you can, most of these scams you'll find on the internet itself. As you Google it, you can find out, oh, this is a scam. It would start in this year, and this is what the format of the scam is. So if you have that evidence, you can send it to your friends. If you can find it, send it to your friends. But the scammers are more sophisticated than ever before. We have false websites coming up that look like the real website, and it's not. So, folks, do not give your Social Security number out to anybody. Don't give your credit cards to people you don't know. Don't ever give your bank accounts to anyone and transfer funds. Don't ever do that. Unless you're absolutely 100% sure that you have the right one. And I always, if I'm going to invest in something, I've got to call that company and talk to them, make sure I got the right link or website to them and make sure everything's going to line up. And because that money, once it's gone, it is gone, folks. It is gone. Very difficult for the government to finally hunt these people down because they use so many different international websites to launder the money through, and it's next to impossible so many times, unfortunately. And so don't play any games with these guys that promised the pie in the sky. It's never going to happen. You're going to be have pie in your face, so you don't want that. Mike?
Yeah, and you know, as far as Fran, as you're talking to your friend, I'm really glad you have a friendship with them that you might be able to, you know, bring some reason there with them. You know, there's an old saying, if it sounds too good to be true, it probably is. Well, that's really a truth sometimes because they can make these, scams sound so real. But I think the main thing you need to do is I would just really tell her, don't give them any more money. You know, the Bible says, by their fruit, you will know them. Speaking of Christians, but I believe this is also investments and anything else. If it's a real good investment, there will be fruit, not give me more. And that's what it sounds like they're up against. Fran, I hope that helps.
Yes, thank you so much for our brothers. I just, they're such a sweet couple of believers, and I know it's a touchy subject, and it's been 3 years now, and my heart is heavy because they just asked for more money, And I don't want this to come across as to like, I'm not asking you to stop praying for a miracle, but I don't want you to take be taking more advantage of. You just gave them more money and you hadn't gotten any. And you still have to work at 68 years. I mean, like, what?
What I might suggest is, you know, if you want, you can call Financial Peace University with Dave Ramsey, his organization, his good Christian organization, and see what advice they might give to your friends. At least they can be connected with a good, solid Christian organization, and they're going to give them good financial advice on what to do in regards to a situation like this. I think maybe they might not listen to you, but maybe they'll listen to someone that they consider to be expert in finances that might help them out. Yeah. And what folks, one thing that does happen, they always say, oh, send us more money and then we'll get your money back. It's like, are you kidding me? No, I'm not going to send any more money. We're done. And that's one of the things the scam artists like to do. Mike?
Yeah, I'd say, what'd you do with the last money I gave you?
Yeah,
Fran, hope that helps, dear. If there's anything we can do, please let us know. And again, you know, you've got to just verify everything. And to just willy-nilly just be giving, throwing good money after bad is a very, very dangerous thing. So, Fran, our prayers are with you, and may the Lord give you the right words to say Amen. To them that will cause them to wake up. Nobody wants to believe they've been scammed. But believing in a scam doesn't make it true. And this is where the problem comes in. So may the Lord give you the right words that'll touch their heart. Fran, thank you so much for the call. If you need us, we're here for you, okay?
Thank you.
God bless you, dear. Thanks so much for the call. And thank you for your concern for others as well. That's so important. Let's go to Chris, Plymouth, Massachusetts. Hi, welcome.
Hi, pastors. First, I want to say a disclaimer. I'm not pro-Iran. I'm not a Muslim or anything. I'm a believer. But when you were speaking earlier of the New World Order, Israel is a big, big part of that. They're very pro-New World Order. Also, I don't know if you're aware, they in Israel, they're having one of the largest pride festivals ever on the Dead Sea near Sodom and Gomorrah. I don't know if
you're aware they're still
that.
Apostate.
Oh, unbelievably. Mm-hmm. So I wonder, is that who Jesus speaks of in Revelation when he says the Jews who say they are Jews but are liars and are the synagogue of Satan? Is this the apostate Israel?
Okay, your thoughts.
Well, there's two facts here. One is we want to reach all people for Jesus Christ, right, with the gospel Amen. Message of salvation. The Bible says the gospel goes to the Jew first, then to the Greek or the Gentile. So no matter what, we want to reach all people for Christ. Are there folks who are anti-Christian? Yes. In Israel? Yes. Are they in the world? Yes. Are there basically churches of Satan also that call themselves Christian churches in America? Yes, it's known as the Church of Laodicea, the lukewarm church that makes Jesus sick and wants to vomit out of his mouth. But we still want to reach everybody with the gospel message. And God made a promise to all nations. He said, if you bless the nation Israel, I will bless you. If you curse the nation Israel, I will curse you. And I think you can go, there's some folks have done some studies on the times where we were with Israel, and we saw the blessings of the Lord in America, then times when we came against Israel, and you see the cursings that came to America at that time. So it's a fascinating study, and not that everything Israel does is absolutely right, but we know they're fighting against evil over there in Israel in the Middle East, and God says he's going to bring them back as a nation. That's the parable of the fig tree. He says, learn the parable of the fig tree. They're going to be a nation once again. Also in Ezekiel 36, 37, that it says they'll be regathered once again. So we see the prophecy being fulfilled. And God is going to really give a double dose of his Holy Ghost, if you will, upon them in the tribulation period. And what we're trying to do is minister to them and witness to them to reach them with the gospel of Christ. Are there various folks involved in the one world government and all heading towards it? Yeah, majority of the world is headed in that direction. Trump has messed everything up because he's standing up for America first, which means he's standing up for our Declaration of Independence. Very important that we realize these things. So, which is what we should be doing always, instead of joining the global elites in the European Union and everything else.
That's why they hate him.
All that stuff. Yeah, that's why they hate him. Mike, I'll give it over to you.
No, and I really believe this is what where everything is at. So, no, there is. We know that the Antichrist makes a deal with Israel, found there in Daniel chapter 9. I don't know what this will entail. Probably has something to do with the rebuilding of their third temple. They're on the dome where the Dome of the Rock Mosque is on the Temple Mount. And here this man of peace, this Antichrist, has negotiated a peace deal where the Jew, the Christian, the Muslim could all worship together on the same mountain. Have we ever seen anybody that could pull this off before? Oh, this has got to be the Messiah. The world will cry out. And Israel buys into it for the first 3.5 years. And then the abomination which makes desolate takes place. And it's where this Antichrist may very well be during the dedication of the temple, declares to him the world that he is God and must be worshipped as God. He puts a picture of himself, his name, or he himself in the temple. And Jesus said, don't even go back in your house to get your coat. This did not in any way, shape, or form happen in 70 AD. People that say, oh, the book of Revelation happened in 70 AD, you just don't know. You don't. First of all, you don't know scripture. And second of all, the prophecies of Jesus. Jerusalem will be trodden down by the Gentiles till the time of the Gentiles is fulfilled. Jerusalem's under Jewish control. Exactly what Jesus said. Then he goes on and he says the generation that sees this in Luke 21 is all things will be fulfilled. So we understand that we're getting into the big wrap here. It's done. As in the days of Noah, Matthew chapter 24, so shall the coming of the Son of Man be, eating, drinking, marrying, and giving in marriage. That's what it's going to be like when the rapture comes. Now, the second coming of Christ, right there at the bowl judgments, when you get down to the last few bowl judgments, mere survival is all it's going to be before the second coming of Christ. So we know it's a different thing. But we're very much aware that the Jewish people will recognize Jesus as their Messiah at the very end of the tribulation period. They'll say, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. And the Bible says Israel will mourn for him like they mourn for an only son. And so I do believe that that is what this is. But Israel is definitely an end time player in all of this. If you want to know prophetically where we are in the world, look at Israel, because that always tells you where we are at globally, where we're headed. And I really believe indirectly, Daryl, how much time we have left. And I don't think there's a lot. Do you?
No, I don't believe there is. I think we're getting very, very close to the rapture of the church, the great tribulation, the unveiling of the Antichrist, and of course, the outpouring of that 70th week of Daniel upon the Jewish people. Remember, Daniel said it'll be upon your people and upon the city, the holy city, which is the only one holy city, which is Jerusalem. God's going to deal with the people incredibly, the Jewish people in the tribulation period, as the 144,000 Jews, 12,000 from each tribe of Israel will be preaching the gospel of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and many, 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 many Jews will be saved. Not all, but many will be saved at that time. They'll come to Yeshua HaMashiach. Jesus is their Messiah. It's going to be a very thrilling time for them to know the love of God and be filled with the power of the Holy Spirit at that time. So we're blessed. We're the bride of Christ. We're going to go up in the rapture of the church, but we want to take as many with us, Jew and Gentile alike. Amen, Mike?
Amen. And people are going to believe something. My prayer is that we get to them before the world does.
Yes.
Chris, hope that helps.
Oh, thank you. God bless you guys.
Blessings to you, Chris. If you like, stay online. Send you a little book called Time to Grow. Send that out every once in a while to different people that call in. And if you'd like one, stay online. I'll get one of those out to you. If you need more, just let me know. Let's go to Randy, Golden Valley, Arizona. Hi and welcome.
Yeah. Hi, Pastor Mike and Daryl.
Hi. How can we help?
Can you hear me okay?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm sitting here at my desk in Arizona here. And, you know, we all get depressed, and especially what we're seeing right now. But I'm thinking about when they tried to kill our president, Donald Trump, a couple of years ago, I guess it was. Yeah. Or, yeah. You know, about a year and a half. But God meant that for good. Donald, you know, everything that's going on now, God is using Donald Trump. We're in the last days. We know that. But to bring reassurance to everyone out there, you know, because I get depressed a lot, but Jesus said, don't worry about your life. And I'm thinking, I'm looking in the Harvest Handbook of Bible Prophecy that it was given to me from a friend in New Mexico with Skip Isaac's church. And it said, it gives the 15 characteristics of what we have coming in heaven. We need to really look to this because it really comforts us, because what we're going to inherit. And it says our body, the 15 categories, it gives a scripture, but I'll just read what the 15 categories are. Our new heavenly bodies, everyone, is physical, transformed, recognizable, imperishable, immortal, supernatural abilities, sinless, glorified, unfailing, spiritual, heavenly, radiant, unmarried, fully mature, and no negative effects. That is, think about that, everyone, that because we're going to be leaving these old earthly fleshly bodies. And yeah, to look forward to that is it just really reassuring when you read about this. And then at the very bottom, there's a paragraph that says, we inherit, God gives us access and inheritance to the tree of life, the river of life, and the throne of God are all there. And so are all the saved of all time.
And amen. Randy, that's something. It's something, Randy, that we look forward to. Now, the Bible does say we will be married to Christ, though. And that's kind of neat. We're the bride of Christ. And, God's been working on our home in heaven for a couple thousand years. I think it's going to be pretty grand when we see it all. Daryl, your thoughts?
Yeah, he just threw me into John 14, 1 to 3, where it says, let not your heart be troubled. Don't you love that? Don't be panicky. Don't worry about it. Just trust me. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. Put your name there, my friends. Put your name right there. He's preparing a place for you forever and ever and ever. And it's going to be far greater than anything we've ever experienced here in this fallen world. It's going to be awesome. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. The word receive is parlambano in the Greek. It means the rapture. He's going to take us up. He's going to take us home. And it's pretty exciting. Same term is used in Matthew 24, where one's left and the other is taken. The word taken is parlambano. You're taken. And the word parlambano is to embrace, to love, to take into affection, if you will. And that same term was used by Joseph when he took Mary to be his wife. The word took is parlambano. When Jesus took the disciples up to the Mount of Transfiguration and he was glorified there, it was parlambano. He took the disciples up there. And we're going to be married to Christ. We're going to be glorified, and we're going to be taken up to heaven in the rapture of the church. So we have some exciting things to look forward to. What age will we be? I don't know if you want to put an age on us. I don't, Mike, you got any thoughts on that? I have no clue.
Well, I think we're going to be the age that Adam and Eve were. I think we're going to be just the right age.
There you go. You know? Like that.
And we have a belly button. And I don't know. Well, probably because we're attached to the human race, but we're going to have a glorified body attached Amen. To heaven. So I look forward to that. And those are some of the great things that we have, you know, in a body that doesn't get old, doesn't get wrinkles, doesn't cry anymore, because there's no sorrow. Isn't that great? Imagine a world without sorrow. Imagine a world without pain. Imagine a world of justice, where we don't see the things in the news that we see. We don't see the corruption. We don't see the manipulation through governments and people, those taking advantage of people. You know, I was talking to a dear friend today, and we were talking about how people just love to take advantage of people. No more in heaven. It's going to be completely a different world. And you know, that is a wonderful thing. As the Bible says, we'll be known as we are known. No more charades. No more fake outs. It's going to be completely honest. And, you know, that's something we look forward to. And so, you know, I tell people everywhere all the time, heaven is an eternal place. Don't miss it for the world. This thing is perishing, and the things around us and the things in it. So don't be ripped off by believing a lie. Our sister that called about people getting ripped off in their investments. Make heavenly investments, Jesus said. Spend that time with Christ and blessing others. He that lends to the poor lends to God, is what the Bible says. Any last thoughts, Daryl? Our time is gone.
No, let's go to heaven. Let's go for God and get things going. Amen.
Amen. So hope that answers it for you. And look forward, Randy. Call us anytime. We're all out of time. Thank you, Daryl, for being on. Look forward to your program in the morning times here on CSN. And so until then, keep looking up. Our redemption draws nigh. Good night.
Please call 1-800-357-4226 or write us to Every Man an Answer, P.O. Box 391, Twin Falls, Idaho, 83303. That toll-free number is 1-800-357-4226. Subscribe to the free podcast on iTunes by searching for To Every Man an Answer in the iTunes store or visit us online at csnradio.com/TEMA. To Every Man an Answer is a production of CSN International, the Christian Satellite Network. The opinions expressed by our guests may or may not be those of CSN International or of this station.